Harper Bliss, author of Lesbian Fiction, and I'm her Mrs. Thank you for listening to our podcast where we try to talk about our journey in writing and publishing.
But we usually get sidetracked by television or our cat.
Meow.
Welcome to Harper Bliss and her Mrs. Hello, everyone. This is episode 7 of
Harper Bliss
and her missus.
We're recording this on Sunday, May 13, 2018.
A Sunday again.
Yes.
So, how was your week?
It wasn't the best week, but I think we can talk about that later.
Yes.
I will give a quick recap of what I've done.
Mm-hmm.
We got the Royal Romance Once Upon a Princess back from the editor.
Yay.
So now it's really crunch time because the release date is coming very, very close.
I know. It's like in 11 days or something like that.
And we've decided to go on holiday during release week.
Yes, that was an excellent plan.
Yeah.
And that'd be fine.
And also, I wanted to say hello from our cat who's behind me.
Taking a nap and hopefully not jumping on the table today.
Yeah, let's hope she behaves.
Yes.
She looks pretty much lost to the world right now.
Yes, yes. I'm sure she'll be fine this week. Anyway, because we are going to keep it much shorter than last week, are we not?
Yes.
Or try to.
Yeah, we will.
Because it was a bit long last week.
Yes. Sorry about that. Long-winded, but long-windedness is my brand.
So the edits came back for Once Upon a Princess.
What have you done this week?
Well, I went over the edits of Once Upon a Princess.
You did.
And, we did some writing, but more on that later. Well, I had to play golf again on Thursday because it was a public holiday, club championship.
Did you win?
No. It was really bad. I played really badly and I was exhausted afterwards. But anyway, but it was a nice day. The weather was okay. So that was fun.
Well, I took the opportunity of the public holiday to do some mailing list hygiene.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But I want to make 2 points about mailing list because, my mailing, I'm no longer on social media. My mailing list is all I have. So, I need to treat it very carefully. There's two things. Like, a lot of people are freaking out about the GDPR. If you're not a writer and you don't have a mailing list, this is, not for you. But I know some writers are watching this, right? So my advice is there are some excellent podcasts about it. Listen to the self-publishing formula. But the one that that informed me the most was Nick Stevenson's webinar about it. And I think I heard about it from Joanna Penn. So listen to the last episode of The Creative Pen. She talks about what she's going to do. And then she refers you to Nick Stevenson's webinar. So you should definitely listen to that. But also what you should definitely not do is ask your entire list to re-opt in. Don't do it. Okay. And if you listen to these podcasts, then you will know why. But you will lose a big chunk of your list if you do this. And you've worked all these years to get your list, so don't do it. So I just really wanted to make that point. But, I'm not a lawyer, obviously.
But Nick Stevenson and on the SPF, they did get advice from lawyers about this, which is why you should listen or watch.
Both him and Mark Dawson, they invited a lawyer to talk about this, so... But also, there's no reason to freak out, right? It's going to be fine.
Yes.
But
it's not the end of the world.
And then also, I did something that I had not done in a long time to my mailing list. I performed some hygiene. But what I used to do was I just went into my list and looked up what we call cold subscribers, so people who haven't opened in a while, or I selected the last 20 campaigns. But this time, instead of just deleting them, I sent them an email and I asked, I said something like, do you still want to be on my list? It's been a while since I heard from you, since you've opened an email, blah, blah, blah. And I got so many replies. So it's not because your mailing list provider, I use MailChimp, says that people don't open your email, that they don't read it. There are some settings, I think, in certain email programs that...
They don't reflect in MailChimp if people have read your email. So you shouldn't assume that if your mailing list provider tells you this person hasn't read any emails, that's actually the case.
Yeah, so prune carefully.
Yes.
And, reconfirm them instead of deleting them.
Yes. So I think...
This is a bit technical.
Yeah, so this is, you know, for people who have mailing lists, for the rest of them, not so interesting.
Yeah.
What's more interesting is what? Television.
Television.
Yes. So we started watching this Netflix show called Safe, which is created by Harlan Coben. I mean, it's set in the UK, but the main star is Michael C. Hall.
David from 6 Feet Under.
Yes, or Dexter, serial killer Dexter. But he plays a Brit and he speaks with an English accent, but it's
horrible. It sounds like he's from New Zealand.
Which is fine if you're from New Zealand, but if you're an American trying to impersonate a Brit, then it's a bit weird if you sound like you're from
his
New Zealand.
Daughter goes missing and she's called Jenny, and I was like, Jenny. It's ridiculous. Are there no actors? How old is he? 45 or something? Are there no 45 British actors left who could have played this part?
Apparently not, but I think a lot of them are in the US taking parts from American actors, so now it's the revenge of the American actors coming to take parts in the UK.
I think what happened is they needed like a name to make this, but also I think Netflix has generally just been lowering the bar. I don't know, they just don't make any really good shows anymore. How excited were we with season 1 and 2 of House of Cards, or every season of Orange is a New Black? I thought that was the standard they were setting, but I mean, it's just been pretty shit, hasn't it?
Yeah, but I guess you cannot keep up super high standards all the time, but they have not made, you know, a great show, I think.
But also, I mean, this is Harlan Coben. Would you not expect a little bit? I've seen much better things from him.
The dialogues are just very ridiculous and cringeworthy sometimes.
Yeah.
But it is a show that you want to keep watching because you know there's going to be some twists coming, and
you want to know what happens.
Yeah.
So they bank on that.
Yeah, and they end every episode with a major cliffhanger, and so, you know, you have to watch the next one. But it's just not very good.
And it's very difficult to care for Michael C. Hall's character.
Yeah, there aren't a lot of likable characters in this show. Only
the police woman,
she's quite okay. Yeah. Well, you never know, maybe she'll turn out to
She done it.
Yeah, maybe she will have done it. I don't know. We've only watched the
that
first
would
five,
surprise
six
me. Because yesterday we had your mum over for dinner and she said, "Oh, I watched this new show on Netflix called Safe." And so I said, "Well, it's only just been on." She said, "Yeah, I binged it." She binged the whole thing already. Your mother.
Yes, well, you know, she likes a good binge sometimes.
She does. Maybe she slept through half of it.
Well, she probably
nodded
did.
Off.
Yeah, she probably missed half the episodes because she nodded off, and then she woke up when there was the credits at the end. Anyway, but also what's exciting is The Bridge season 4 started on the BBC, but we haven't watched it yet because we recorded it and we're still re-watching season 3.
Yeah.
Did I say season 3 before? It's season 4. Anyway, doesn't matter. So we're rewatching season 3 and we still have a few episodes to go. And then
the first episode is on our, what do you call it?
Our digital recorder thingy, you know.
The thing you get with your television.
Yes. So we have it, but we have not watched it yet.
Yeah, I don't know how long we're going to be able to stop ourselves, because now that is a good show.
Yes. So yeah, we'll see.
With an excellent protagonist who you care for so much.
Yes, but maybe we should try and actually, you know, save them up and binge them then.
That's not possible.
But I don't think that's going to happen. We'll see. Maybe by next week we'll have watched episode 1. Oh, and there'll be an episode 2 by then, probably.
Yes.
Oh, so exciting. So, and well,
I wanted to give a shout out to my TV highlight of every single week is the Graham Norton show.
Oh, Graham,
but, I mean,
so great.
He is so funny. Oh, he's so gay, right? I mean, it's just like a perfect example of a gay brightening up all of our lives.
He's just so, you know, nice and to all his guests.
But not nice in a
put
upon manner.
Like genuinely nice to the guests, or that's how it comes over, of course. And it's not a talk show, you know, where people are just promoting their film and then off they go. That's, you know, he manages to make the guests talk about, you know, stupid anecdotes and all that kind of stuff.
Him.
And yeah, and you know, it's a really fun show.
It's my dream to meet him.
Well, yeah, and we saw it yesterday because it was Eurovision. I don't know. People in America probably won't know what that is, but people in Europe
it's
very,
very
much will know.
And in Australia.
Yeah.
Because Australia is now part of what?
Eurovision.
Eurovision.
Anyway, someone we know, an acquaintance, was in Lisbon, which is where the Eurovision Song Contest was held this year, and he posted a picture on his social media of him with Graham, and apparently they are on the same floor in the hotel. Graham's room is like three doors down from where they're sleeping.
What?
So that's where they ran into Graham.
Oh my goodness.
So yeah, so jealous.
Oh, Graham is the best gay.
Yes, I wish we had Graham in our life.
We used to have a kind of Graham in Hong Kong. The Lady Ashley. Oh, we missed the Lady Ashley so much. But yeah.
Oh, I shall have to tell him to
watch. We moved away.
Yeah.
If you watch this Lady Ashley, we miss you so much. Okay. I do have one thing to say about the Graham Norton show, and I apologize in advance for all the Americans listening, but it's usually much better if there are no Americans on the show. It's always so much funnier when there are only Brits.
No, it's true.
Or like a majority of Brits.
Not this episode, but the couple of episodes before, there were almost all British couches.
Tom Cruise or something like that. It's not the same.
No.
But I don't. Not that I think that Tom Cruise is like the best representation of the average American. Obviously not. You know what I mean?
That'd
is like
scary.
a big American movie star. That's actually what I mean.
Yes. Yeah. But anyway, so Graham, every Friday on the BBC, for people who live in Europe and who get the BBC.
It's on BBC
America.
It's on BBC America as well,
and I'm sure you can catch it.
You can even watch it with Flemish subtitles in Belgium.
Oh yeah, there's this channel that does reruns, but I mean, they're episodes from a year or two ago.
They're not topical.
So they're not very, up to date.
Okay, let's move on.
Let's move on to the weekly topic.
Okay, so I think the weekly topic is the resistance and... just that, you know, sometimes it's going to be hard.
Yes.
Because I think, like, too many aspiring or not even aspiring, too many writers, it must look like we are living, like, a dream life, you know, to make a living of what we love doing best. And we do, but, like, everything in life...
It's not always easy and it's not always... It doesn't always go well.
There are going to be shit weeks.
Yes.
And I think this week we had a shit week.
Yes.
Because I think we definitely lost momentum, you know, in our co-write, because there is just too many public holidays in May. How are you supposed to keep momentum about writing through them? But it doesn't work if your wife is a golfer, because she always has to go and play golf.
Well, I'm not playing for the next few weeks, so...
Yeah, we're going on holiday. Yeah.
But, no, I mean, I had some difficult writing days this week, for sure.
My stomach is growling.
We haven't had breakfast yet. And because I was tired, because, you know, stuff on my mind and that kind of stuff, and it wasn't going very well. And the problem is, of course, that we write, you know, alternate chapters, so... if I don't write my chapter, then you can't write your chapter. So even though, you know, we kind of outline a little bit what's supposed to happen in the chapter, you always depend on what the previous chapter is about. So my difficult writing days caused difficult writing days for you as well.
But I took a day off from writing as well because I had one too many benders last weekend.
So it's not been a very good week for writing, but I think we can probably do better this coming week.
Well, we have to.
We will.
I mean, that's the thing, right? That's the point I want to make, is that sometimes it's going to be hard, but that's life, right?
It's like that in every job.
Yeah, but it's like that in everything. Like, you know, I wanted to give the example of our cat.
Mm-hmm.
Like, having a cat is amazing, but, you know, there are also some downsides to it.
Yes, like, for instance, when, you know, the cat sleeps in the living room and kitchen. That's the area that she can roam in during the night, and we close the door to the kitchen and to the hallway. But during this week, she somehow managed to open the door to the kitchen. Doesn't close very well, and we have to put a doorstop beneath it. But she managed to dislodge the doorstop, open the door, and all of a sudden she showed up in our bedroom. You know, you were asleep, I was awake, and I, you know, she settled down at the end of the bed, and I said, okay, I hope maybe she'll stay put, and she'll be quiet, and but of course she doesn't, because
she's a cat.
She stays put for 5 minutes, but then there's a noise in the hallway, or someone's coming up the stairs in the building, and then she jumps off the bed, runs to the door, and then she comes back.
Just a launch a kitty investigation.
And we have a very high bed, so every time she jumps off, it makes, you know, a big sound. I hope our neighbors...
It's not possible to sleep with a cat
in
the bed.
So, and especially not this cat. So, yeah, so... that disturbed the whole, you know, night's rest, because then you woke up, and then, you know, if you put her in the kitchen after that, she'll be scratching at the door and meowing to be let out, because, you know, she is a cat with FOMO, so she cannot be left alone. So yeah, so that was a, you know, we did a night where I hardly slept, and you didn't sleep very well, and so the next day...
If you don't have a good night's sleep, it's almost certainly that you're going to... Certain that you're going to have a bad day.
Yes.
So. It all starts with a good night's sleep.
Yes.
But also, like, you know, the cat, I just want to give two more examples. I love my cat. I mean, we've had her
too
6
much.
Months. Too much. Some say too much, which is probably true. But can you love a cat too much? I don't
know. You can.
But, like, you know, she has hairballs. It's hairball season. I think it's almost at the end. Like, you know, that sofa we have in the office, she has basically destroyed.
Yes.
And, like, if we want to go away for, like, spontaneously, we can't. Like, we have to find someone to take care of her, for instance.
Yes.
All of these things. But this is just an example that, you know, even the best things in life, like having a cat, come with a couple of downsides. And so I want to say that even our lives as, you know, writers and making a living of our lesfic, it does also come with, you know, not so good weeks like the one we've had.
Mm-hmm.
But obviously, I mean, I don't want to say just this. I want to maybe give a few tips to get back in the saddle.
Okay.
Sorry. I was going to say go to bed earlier. Yeah, I'm a little bit tired this morning. So, like, a good example is, like, last week was a shitty week. I only went for one walk during the entire week.
Oh, yeah.
Which is, you know, a good example of... Because for me, when I feel shitty, the first thing that goes out of the window is taking care of myself. And, I mean, it's like this every single time. And then it's just... It starts a cycle of... It starts the downward spiral.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you know, if you stop taking care of yourself, and as a writer, you need to take care of your brain the most, and taking care of your brain is actually taking care of your body.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't take care of your body, then, you know, the brain will not be happy.
No.
I did go to the store and bought some dumbbells, though.
Have you used them yet?
No, and that's a problem. Because you think you're doing something good for yourself by buying something, which is, like, absolute bullshit, because, you know, then you think you've already done something, but you haven't actually done it yet. Because, yeah, I have the dumbbells, you know, they're in the bedroom, but I haven't used them yet.
Well, to be fair, we've only had them for a few days. So.
Yeah, be fair only.
I am. That's what I'm saying. I won't mention the fitness equipment that we had to buy, and that was used 4 times, and that's now...
Not 4 times.
Okay, 6 times?
No, definitely 10.
Okay.
Well, anyway, but no, let's not
get into this discussion. No.
But I think one thing you can do is do something that you really enjoy. Like the week before, I said, fuck all this, you know, let's just go for a walk in the forest. But for me, this is a problem because I don't really have many hobbies. So my main hobby is going out for a drink, and that is, like, fun. But my problem is then that I can never have one.
That doesn't help for...
I need to find a better hobby.
Yes, well, you need to go out for more walks.
I know, I need to go out for more walks. That was my problem every single day. I know I need to go out for a walk because, you know, the writing is not going. I mean, I was waiting for you, I have some time, but I didn't do it. It's
maybe
a problem,
I should have pushed you out of the apartment, maybe.
Maybe we should get a dog.
No. I don't think Dolly would appreciate that.
Also, just a little tip, if you've been having like a bad time writing, read some really good literary fiction. For me, this always works because I've been stuck in this Elizabeth George for weeks now, and it's like I don't know how many print pages. It must be like 700 pages. And it just drags on. And I love Elizabeth George, but, oh, God, I got so sick. And then I got a new Meg Wolitzer book. I love Meg Wolitzer. And then I read, you know, for a couple of pages, and it was like sentences that, like, went on for pages and pages, which I love.
Yes.
And then after that, I actually had a really good writing day.
Well, yeah, but, I mean, I know this. Your best writing you do when you're reading something really, really, you know, a big literary fiction book. I can't remember what you were reading when you wrote In the Distance, but I remember.
Yeah, In the Distance, I really don't remember, but I do remember Seasons of Love. I was reading A Little Life.
Oh, yeah.
But this is, I mean, if I can never reread that book because it's just too grueling. But that was very long, and that definitely made me write better because, you know, I'm like a sponge.
Well, it's normal. I mean, I think any writer is that's one of the things that writers should do, right?
But there are a lot of writers who don't want to read any other fiction while they're writing, which has always struck me as very strange. But maybe this is my advice to you.
Yeah, maybe I should switch to Meg Wolitzer because I'm reading the Elizabeth George as well, and it's not progressing as fast as I would
want. It's so slow.
I mean, I love it, but yeah, maybe for writing I should switch to some literary fiction. Maybe I'll try Meg Wolitzer tonight.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe I'll have a good writing day tomorrow then.
Yeah, because also on that day, I read like for half an hour in the morning before I started writing, and that actually helped me a lot.
Oh, yeah, you used to do that.
Yeah, I used to do it, but then, you know, I get lazy. But also what is important is, you know, stick to your routines, because I did not stick to my routines this week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, morning routine is pretty easy to stick to for me. But then usually after I'm done writing, I go out for a walk and then,
But it'll be better this week.
Yes.
Because bad weeks happen, but you can get over them and have a good week after it.
Yeah, this is not supposed to be like a huge downer.
No.
This is just like saying these things happen, but also
you just
they pass.
Yeah, they pass. It doesn't. This too shall pass.
And this is also why we want to keep it short. We don't want to, you know.
Yes. Also, we have a brunch to get to
with a gaggle of gays.
Yes. So, I think maybe we should stop here then.
Yes. Okay.
And we'll see you next week or hear you next week.
Yes.
Bye bye.
Thank you for listening to Harper Bliss and Her Misses.
You can find all the episodes and show notes at harperblissandhermisses.com.
We also have a favor to ask.
If you could rate and review the podcast wherever you listen to it, that would help other people find us.
Thank you.